Okay, cool. What are we doing this week?
Gary, you will notice that I hold in my hand a crystal ball.
It's like Labyrinth.
You're going to gaze in. Exactly. It is an exact replica of the crystal ball from Labyrinth. It came at a high cost.
From a hobby shop. I bought it from Spencer's Gifts.
Holy shit, it's already working. You know exactly where I got this. At the Spencer's Gifts. Yeah. It was right next to the poster that said 2468, look at us and masturbate.
Yeah, or the owl that says Hooter Tooter, and it's an owl that farts.
Yeah. Exactly. He's got a little mortarboard on. He's got a PhD from Flatulence U.
Yeah, some kind of farting owl toy.
Yeah, yeah. You take, okay, so gaze into the crystal ball.
I will put aside my prejudice towards Spencer's and do so.
Okay. Yeah, are you seeing anything?
Mostly just pot leaves and silver skulls and stuff.
Yeah, these things don't work. We're talking about Legacy of the Wizard.
Oh, well, Legacy of the Wizard is under the crystal ball.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just magnifying it.
It was lensing. Yeah. That science is amazing.
Yeah, so, Neil deGrasse Tyson has never been hotter.
Yeah.
his star is rising.
I want to believe what the attractive...
Down with Christopher Hitchens. Up with Neil deGrasse Tyson.
You know, I feel like we all won.
yeah, I'll take that trade.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I want to listen to the attractive black science man.
Yeah, more than I want to listen to the stuffy sexist asshole.
Yeah, the stuffy sexist Iraq war apologist asshole.
Let's start the faces of atheism calendar. Neil deGrasse Tyson slowly presenting one of his tits onto a slab of ham, and then just a long, like a medium shot of Christopher Hitchens' grave, and then. Mm-hmm.
It's a page a day calendar, and on each page it says, "On this day, I am euphoric."
Yeah, yep. Red pill, red pill, red pill.
But yeah, Legacy of the Wizard.
Okay, no, fine. I like this game, so works for me.
Yeah. Go ahead. Take us in with the intro, because I want to thank the person who recommended this.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'll do the intro first by point of order. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, the show where we play games.
Thank you for doing this to us.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're getting a couple of winners, and for most of these, I'm kind of sad that there's no comment that goes alongside them. However, there was some clarification. Remember when we did Legend of the Dragon or King of the Dragon Hall or whatever it was?
Sure.
Yeah, the D&D arcade beat 'em up. Turns out that was just a transposition error, so he actually wasn't recommending that one. For some reason, so he just gave us that excuse to not talk about that game. Yeah.
I'm surprised I remember that.
Oh.
Who suggested Legacy of the Wizard?
Well, Mr. Holland Hume.
Hey, Holland.
A Patreon backer, I might note.
Oh, thank you. Ooh, la la.
Why did I say that in such a randy fashion?
I might. I'm Benedict Cumberbatch, baby. I'm horny. Do behave.
Yeah. Draw fan art of me of me as every character. Yeah.
Baby. I'm Benedict Cumberbatch.
I'm gaunt and drawn, and people find my paleness off-putting.
Yeah, baby. Patreon back my dick, baby.
Patreon back it up onto my dick?
Yeah. Be your patron figure.
Yeah. I watched they had a little live stream. It was like a state of the business thing. The Patreon thing. Yeah, they got a lot of funding, so they wanted to let people know, we're not going to change the terms. You guys are fine.
Good.
So, yeah. It was very nice. It was very open and transparent of them.
Yeah. Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Good job, Mr. Patreon.
Yeah. Jimmy Patreon.
Yeah, Jimmy Patreon.
Yeah. And good
like
job.
Jimmy Drum's father.
And good job, Holland.
Yeah, Holland, this is a good game. Yeah. I would have loved to see a comment on why you think this is a bad game. This is a game I have lots of memories of. I played a whole lot when I was younger. It's inscrutable, and it's hard, but it's neat.
It's great. It's got kind of this it's weird. It's this cross between Metroid and this weirder slash old school. You would probably see this exact fighting and jumping in an early retro games challenge kind of parody kind of thing. Like, you have these squat cute little sprites and you have different characters. My gosh, it's great.
Yeah, it was really cool. Like, I've never made any headway into this game, like, ever. Like, and I owned it, like, as a child and played it a lot and just could just kind of explore this big dungeon, you know, playing it like a Metroid. But it just does a lot of neat things, and it came out, you know, a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's a really early example of a bunch of cool stuff, like 1987. And it has, you know, selectable characters and this, like, kind of robust inventory system and...
Yeah, a robust inventory system that explains nothing.
Yeah, there's no way. Like, I think it's probably in a manual, though. Like, I bet you this is just a
exactly. And I did a cursory, and if you read that cursory as I didn't search hard enough, search for it to find the manual, because I really wanted to put the time in to, like, get ahead of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I watched a speed run of it. Like, I want to see, like, you know, that it can be done.
Oh, let's play game over under on how long the speed run was.
Oh, okay. Okay. That can be. I didn't watch a speed run for these other two games because I couldn't find one. But yeah, you give me a guess, and I'll give you over under.
I'm going to say 12 minutes.
It is over that.
Okay. Yep. Let's say half an hour.
That's exactly what it is.
Really?
Yep. And it was a race, so that's probably pretty consistent. About a half hour.
Yeah.
So
neat.
Yeah. That's how long the video was. I think the actual times were a little less than that. But
right.
It is a highly speed runnable game. Like, there are lots of little glitches and stuff.
Yeah, sequence breaky stuff.
Yeah.
But even a half hour seems kind of long.
Yeah. Like, it seems, you know, because it's a big game. Like, there's a lot of dungeon to it. Mm-hmm. It reminds me more than anything of Goonies 2. Mm-hmm. Like, something about just that, you know, you go into a new area with a totally different color palette, with a different music track in the background.
Yeah.
You know, reminded me of Goonies 2.
I mean, what's kind of funny about that, you know, kind of switch that it does is that it's like bleed from one area into another, too. Like, you'll notice the new color palette kind of come in one hue at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not, like, the prettiest game in the world. Eh. Like, it definitely looks like fairly primitive. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it does the job. What's neat about this game? Like, let's kind of go through a list of things that are good before we digress and make jokes.
Talk about atheists more, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about Mr. Hitchens. So, like, I love the character select. Like, I love the different, like, you're playing this family, the Drassels, and they're all, like, real different in, like, really interesting ways. Like, as a kid, this was really fun for me to just try out new people.
Yeah.
And,
and to see how they go. And they roughly match to different archetypes. You have your wizard lady. I think that's the mom.
It is the mom, yeah.
Yeah, the dad's, like, a lumberjack, the son's a knight, and there was a fourth one that I didn't try.
The daughter is, like, a ranger. She's the best character.
Ooh.
Like, she's the strongest one because she's super fast and can jump very high.
Yeah. You know, I think I did get her. Yeah.
Did you play as the pet?
No, I didn't. I didn't know that the pet was an option.
You can click on Pachi, the family pet, who is super shitty. Like, he has no range and he has no jump, like a really shitty jump. But he's a monster, so other monsters don't attack him.
Oh, wow.
And, like, he's supposed to be used as, like, a scout. Like, you're so, like, the proper flow of this game, like, the way that it's intended is, like, you go, you check out these areas, and then come back and grab the family member that's most suited for them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's like really, really weirdly deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have, like, your little base camp. It's that nice cabin that they're all in. And when you select them, they're not actually in their armor. Like, when you pick them, they suit up.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just hanging out at home. And there's a grandmother and grandfather who handle the password stuff for the family. As is the traditional role.
The keeper of the family oral tradition.
Yeah.
The lore. Yeah.
Yeah. Never ask your grandpa for a password. Never.
It starts having flashbacks to Korea.
Yeah. It's going to end up being some kind of, like, horrible... You know, like what they did to get extra gruel in some kind of camp.
Yeah.
Depending on how old you are. It could be any number of camps.
I'm sorry. Written here in the back of the family Bible, it says, please, please, my head cage is getting too tight.
Yeah.
Help.
Yep. And that's the question phrase. And then the answer phrase is like.
This watch is giving me dysentery.
Yeah. Suck it, American. And then you get an extra scoop of rice.
Yeah. It's just over and over again. Diddy Mao. Diddy Mao.
Yeah,
man, Grandpa's losing it.
Yep. Our nation's grandfathers.
Yeah, yeah.
Our nation's racist grandpas.
Our nation's.
They did band name.
Well, the racist grandpas.
Yeah, this is a great band name.
It sounds like a some kind of like forum gang.
Like, yeah, like a good form game. Yeah. Like I want a customized
just rolling around in like 50s style doo-wap
Clansman outfits.
Yeah. Doo-wap leather Clansman.
Papa doo-wop.
Oh man.
Stop taking jobs now. Stop taking jobs. Stop taking
jobs. Oh, hello, my baby. Hello. Yeah, no, that's a
don't
goal.
Date my baby. It's not us who are racist.
It's the grandpas. No.
Yeah, grandpas are the enemy.
That's what my grandpa would. I love my grandpa, but he would shout at us in Korean whenever we were dragging ass. Whenever he wanted us to hustle, he has phrases that he just like whips out.
Korean. Like he used to do that, even though you and your brother suffered from dragon ass. Like
you know. You think you would just be a little bit more... And that's next episode, Gary.
Yeah, that's true. Like, he should be a little bit more sensitive, though.
Yeah, you know.
It's cool with their tiny little dragon ass. That's why Chris is so salty.
Yeah.
He's never recovered from it.
No, man. That's actually a pretty good name for my condition, dragon ass.
Yeah, dragon ass. He's suffering from horde butt. And he can't improve his mood. Poor Chris.
Poor Chris. That's pretty good. Yeah. No. But just shouting us to Korean because of our dragon asses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But dragon ass seems like a slur that we should stop saying. Like it could be in like an alternate universe.
So are we building up like multiverse karma? Like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. If we got teleported to a different world, like we wouldn't be able to say that.
Okay. So we just need to be safe and never say anything that could be construed as offensive.
In any universe.
Okay, cool.
So
we just communicate through hums.
Mm-hmm. All offensive hums.
I like that they switched their outfits because I can't buy a family sitting around in their full armor.
Yeah,
I know that is a very pedantic detail, but it shows that they weren't afraid to use some sprite memory and put some thought into it. And I imagine that the family has something to do with some kind of legacy. Right?
Yeah, they're, it's part of a series.
Yeah,
it's like the Dragon Slayer series. Like I'm kind of looking at some of the other entries right now.
Hmm.
And as I was looking at this, this game has an entry on Hardcore Gaming 101.
Ooh.
And I was reading it a little bit earlier, and like they're kind of very loosely tied. It's a loosely tied series of games, but they're all supposed to be pretty good. I mean, it's Falcom, so it's the people who did Ys.
Yeah,
and those are good games.
Mm-hmm.
So and Faxanadu, wow,
yeah.
Like this feels a little bit like it. That's a spin. Faxanadu is a spinoff of this series.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like that's one of those like wonderful facts that like if I would have thought of like it makes total sense. Like I never would have guessed that, but that makes a sense.
I remember I had a friend. We'd go over to his house and listen to his Queen albums when I was very, very young because we recognized the songs from the Mighty Ducks. And he had all of these NES cartridges, and Faxanadu sticks out to me now as the one that was just kind of like the game whose title I could not pronounce and whose mechanics at that point I could not understand.
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit, it's ambitious again.
Yeah.
But I'm always going to like that.
Yeah. Falcom.
Yeah, Falcom. Good company. There's a good Retronauts on Falcom where they talk about Ys and the like.
Yeah. I guess I didn't put two and two together.
Yeah.
Huh.
Makes a sense.
Mm-hmm. Other cool thing, you have those, you have character specific equipment.
Items.
They pick
up. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, the knight has gauntlets. I never figured out what any of them did, but I liked that idea that you have, like, this loadout.
When I played it young, when I was younger, I know that the dad can use gloves that move blocks. Hmm. That's how you get through some stuff.
Yeah.
And I know reading about it now that the mom can use more items than everyone else. That's kind of her advantage.
Yeah.
But I never actually made any kind of real progress with it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Or seen a boss or done anything. It's just, like, a big dungeon to explore.
Yeah. A big dungeon with all these inns strewn about.
Yeah, yeah, like the shocking frequency.
Yeah.
And at the bottom of any pit, like if you fall down a pit, because you take fall damage in this game, like there's always an inn right there. And I just like the idea of the innkeeper setting up shop right there. It's because like the group of people need to sleep off their broken legs. Like, dude, steady stream of that broken leg money.
No, he just have, at the bottom of the pit, there's an inn, and then there's that lady from Misery.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. To break them and have them, the reverse lady from Misery.
Yeah.
Hammer them back into place while you're sleeping.
Burning manuscripts.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Get that.
But it's incredibly cheap. too.
Yeah.
To do these kind of things. So you're building kind of these inroads. Do you know if there's ever any like fast travel to get further in?
I don't know. It seems like it needs it. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't have it. I don't know what the pictures of like the little princess cube is that you run into every once in a while. That would make sense to me if that was like some part of some kind of teleporting thing, because they're kind of spaced out appropriately for that, but I have no idea.
Yeah, if you want to just get princess kisses, you find the princess, you kiss her, it takes you to the block.
Yeah.
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 Makes sense.
So
I have no idea if that's actually true, though.
This is, I'm going to say, the douchiest thing and the most predictable thing for us to say about a thing of this structure, but like the rhythm of this feels a little bit Soulsian to me.
Hmm.
You know, in terms of making headway into a large and interconnected, single interlocked kind of environment like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a defined rhythm to it.
Good. Like it kind of felt, you know, just like slightly more like Metroid-y to me too, which I guess like there's DNA there.
Yeah.
You know, like Metroid is a little bit Soulsian too, but like it reminded me of Metroid more.
Yeah.
Like I guess you're not going back to your base in Metroid. You are in Super Metroid though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah.
Good game.
Yeah. Like it's a little bit of a bummer. I can't name another NES game where your regular attacks are limited by a meter.
Yeah.
Can you drag anything up off the top of your head?
No, like where you have ammo. Like
yeah,
that,
yeah.
Like since it's all magic, even if you're tossing axes, like they're magic axes.
Mm-hmm. Like in Gauntlet.
Yeah. Except those, there's no meter there. They're just magic axes. No. I feel like that's definitely had to have been a thing, though. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happens when you run out of magic. It never happened to me.
Nothing happens when you attack.
You just can't shoot.
Yeah.
I gotta go find an inn.
Yeah.
Too sleepy.
Mm-hmm. It's just, oh, God, so tired. He's
my legs are too broke. I can't shoot anymore.
He's a crabby little guy.
Yeah,
I love the wizard lady. The little like flourish that she does when she jumps.
Yeah.
She has a little twirl when she goes and she shoots fireballs. Like this is an adorable game.
It's very cute.
Yeah,
it, like despite what the cover looks like, which looks really badass. Like it looks like a cool fantasy novel.
Yeah, it looks like the cover to my Secrets of the NES Sages or whatever.
Yeah,
by Russell Demaria.
Yeah, this looks like it's got some sage secrets in it.
Yeah.
Birderbund, man. Making good games.
Man, such a... You mean Falcom?
Or Broderbund published it.
Publish it, yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
But they tend to be good, too. Yeah. They have a headquarters in Eugene, Oregon. I should go work for them.
Hmm.
Hmm.
I wonder what they're doing now. It's probably just, iOS free-to-play stuff. Educational.
Probably garbage.
Yeah.
Looks like I'm looking at their thing on Wikipedia, and like the latest thing they have is 2005. That's something called Right Action Camera, an edutainment game. So it doesn't sound that fun. I should not go work for them.
Yeah, they did you just go there and just infinitely port the Last Express.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just over and over, just perfect it one at a time. Yeah, I'll be like the Eric Chahi of the Last Express and just keep putting it out every 5 years.
Yeah.
It's got to be some anniversary. It's like the 16-year and 7-month anniversary of the Last Express.
Yeah. Yep. Is there something with the screen that doesn't have the Last Express? That's our next goal. The Ouya.
There we go.
Last Express for Ouya.
I bet you there'll be a Last Express Ouya at some point.
Yeah, I'm positive. Yeah.
Looking, that makes sense.
Looking at this here. Ooh, Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego? All of this is games that I played at the library.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it's a real library kind of a company.
Yeah.
Speaks well of them.
Yeah.
Good font on the title.
Going there,
good.
Going to the Mansfield Public Library and playing Prince of Persia on the IMAX as two rows over, somebody masturbated furiously.
Yeah?
Yeah.
People love to masturbate in libraries.
Yeah, and it seems to be a real problem.
Yeah.
Although they should embrace it as a revenue model.
It's very interesting. Like, it is it's an ethical thing. Like, I did an internship at a library, when I was studying library science for a brief time. And it's a real point of controversy because there's this argument between got to protect the children and information needs to be free, all information. And that's like a real ethical dilemma in the world of librarians.
I'm sure.
So that is why it is okay for homeless people to masturbate in libraries and like bathe in them and like use them as, pretty much anything that they want. It is the homeless home.
Set up homeless shops.
Yeah. Like little shanty villages
in
the nonfiction But like, I mean, like a library will have a children's section sometimes where no masturbation is allowed, which I think about that. Like there's a building where there's one section where explicitly you cannot look at porn and masturbate, but every other section, fair game.
You know what? I don't masturbate in your library, so don't masturbate at my pool.
Yeah. Yeah. Or do masturbate in my pool if it means you stop masturbating in my library. Yeah. Like, let's just get everyone to masturbate in a pool. And then, like, kids don't know the difference. Like, I'm not going to step in a public pool. Like, homeless people J-O and do it as much as they want. Don't touch that shit.
Yeah, the water kind of has a bit of the viscosity and the consistency of it anyway.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. like let's, in all honesty, like, homeless people do masturbate in the pool. Like,
yeah. Just out of spite.
Yeah, there's a huge crossover in things you do in the bathroom that you also, like, masturbation and bathroom things. Mm-hmm. And then if you use something as a bathroom, you can also use it to masturbate.
Right. It's like inviting a vampire in. It's like giving him permission.
Here, let's get real for a second.
Okay.
You ever masturbated in a public bathroom?
No, I haven't. Gary, right. In our history together, how long have, like, how many times have I gone off about how I can't even breathe in a public restroom?
Well, I didn't know whether, like, that was, you know, how new that was. Like, you used to do things that I would not think that you would do now, like live in a house with people and chaw, like snuff. I wouldn't think that you would do snuff now because that's fucking gross.
Yep.
So, you know, so I just figured maybe at an earlier time in your life.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So my fake outrage aside, I have not.
No.
I'm even trying to think of the weirdest place I've masturbated, and like it's
bed laying the other way.
It's pretty mundane.
Yeah.
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 Mm. Okay, so you can't put the screws to me without screwing yourself.
Oh yeah, there's no screws. Like of course.
Yeah.
Like, no problem. Like I've been on tour before. Like that's okay. Where you masturbate when you're on tour.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, Starbucks bathrooms will save your relationship with your bandmates. I say public, I don't mean nothing without a lock. I've never masturbated
like in an airport.
Yeah. In a library, like a savage. I make sure that there's a locked door between me and the baristas.
So, like, a Starbucks bathroom might as well be a fucking foyer.
Yeah.
Like, they've got, like, a nice little topiary in there. There's a classy painting. There's some bullshit stories written by some marketer on a poster.
Yeah, it's real pleasant. It's a good yank.
it puts you at ease. It really you can transport yourself. It's kind of like being in some kind of like Kubrickian white room.
Yeah.
You know, just you just kind of it's very easy to put yourself in some other place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. Like I will recommend it 10 out of 10.
Yeah. No. Go out there today. Yeah. Abject Suffering endorses the action of
that Starbucks.
You know what, ladies? You do it too. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. We're not being like, it's not like dudes have a monopoly on J&O in public.
Yeah,
like by any means. Like when I say masturbate, I mean that in a gender neutral way.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's not like I do it all. It's not like it gets me off or anything. Like I would just be like, you know, away from a safe zone from which to do that, and at a more hormonal time in my life. And
You just gotta. Sometimes you have to find a place to be selflessly selfish.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Self abuse. No big deal. And when I was younger, like that was, you know. Probably even more so, like in those type of places, because you have that weird, like you're 13 and you know, when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail kind of thing.
when you're just got to give it a pounding.
Yeah, just the you know, the time when you masturbate like 7 or 8 times, you know, a day.
Yeah, well, I'm just even then, I was Sam Fisher. I was, you know, I was a real solid snake. It was just kind of like, you know, it's an insertion mission.
Yeah.
You just gotta start it, get it done, you know, leave no traces. Look at only photographs.
leave only nothing. But for the record, I'm not leaving traces.
Yeah.
Like that's not what I'm about here. Yeah. Do not set yourself
you,
up in contrast to me in that.
No, not even that. I wasn't even implying that. That wasn't a point of contrast.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of like, yeah, you just, you know, it's all the usual places except only when I think nobody was, only when I thought nobody was around.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Because if you masturbate in a place with a toilet and then don't use that toilet for your product, that's a real act of spite.
You know what? Does that also count upper decking?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
You could take a number 3 in an upper deck.
Yeah. And just... on the mezzanine level? Yeah.
Yeah.
Upper 3 on the mezzanine.
Yeah, that's what it's called when you number 3 in it, is a mezzanine.
Yeah.
And you shit in it, it's called an upper deck.
Yeah. Man, when you piss up there, it's called the nosebleed seats.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The cheap seats. The I'm going to give that bathroom the cheap seats.
The bleachers, you know,
yeah,
because of the ammonia.
Yeah. One time there was a coffee shop that we went to all the time when I was younger. And there was this crazy dude who was there, like a crazy guy who just went to the – it wasn't a coffee shop. It was a diner. Mm-hmm. Who was just kind of infamous for being there. And he ended up getting banned from there. And the way he got banned was he was caught pissing in the garbage can in the bathroom, which was like a big spite move. Mm-hmm. But then when the waitress – we were friends with all the waitresses there. And the waitress said that when he got caught – he said, "No one told me I wasn't supposed to do that," which is very funny to me. Like, I would want to let him go. Like, he's got spirit. Mm. Let him go.
Yeah, he's got spunk. Yeah, well, at least there's not spunk involved.
Yeah, he had spunk. Yeah. Now we got spunk. Yeah. Let him go.
It's everywhere. Yeah. Sticky floors.
He was not number three in the garbage can, just peeing.
Yeah. So. God, I pissed in a garbage can once.
Oh, I've been, yeah.
In my own house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it just like crowded bathroom?
Yeah, yeah. Somebody was passed out on the bathroom floor, and they were semi awake, so I couldn't comfortably piss around them.
Mm.
And so I because of my conditions, mental and otherwise, I can't piss outside.
Mm.
You know.
And also, I imagine can't use the sink.
Which
like on the surface is gross, but really it's less gross than pissing in the garbage.
Yeah, well, I was also really drunk, and the sink would have been a very viable option, except for the fact that I wanted to be in a place where there was nobody.
Yeah.
And so I did it in the garbage can, and then very quickly triple lined it, and then put it outside.
No.
So, yeah.
It's very responsible of you not to
not to let it seep out into the actual.
Yeah.
We were buying very cheap bags, Gary.
Yeah,
very cheap sacks. You know, they were not piss rated.
Yeah. The
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the grossest episode. Camping?
Like, do you not pee when outside if you're camping?
It's really hard.
Yeah,
like you can
make it happen, but it has to be like.
Yeah, I have to. You know what? It's one of those things. I have to get far enough away that I'm sure there's not people, but I can't be so far away that I'm sure there are bears.
Yeah, like, or if there is a bear, someone might be able to come help.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And I just see you get pissed in a bear box and then hoisted up a tree. It's a real problem.
Yeah, yeah. You just have to put your arms up.
Yeah,
and look bigger than the bear.
Yep. Yeah. Just flop it around.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's in all honesty, I've probably only ever been car camping.
Mm.
You know, like in cases where I've been able to tell myself, "Ooh, I'm camping," I've never been more than a 10-minute walk away from a very poorly maintained, you know, outdoors-esque restroom.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, like, I prefer to pee in a toilet.
Yeah,
but
yeah. No, there's a certain majesty to pissing outdoors. I understand that there is a need to do that.
Yeah, it's more about, like, I never do it for sport. Like, it's always just I happen to have to pee. There's not a toilet there, so.
I was some of the first times I ever got drunk. It was at my brother's house, you know, safe environment. Mm-hmm. On the back porch, and you could tell the progress of how the night was going because people wouldn't go inside to piss. They would, you know, gleefully opt to piss in the backyard, and it was like clockwork. It was like following the shadow across the yard. People just started pissing closer and closer until they were just pissing off the back porch. Mm-hmm. It was magical in its way.
Yeah. Then you just have this like steady line of urine.
Yeah. That grass never came back.
Yeah. That's the thing about urine is the grass around it will get super, super verdant.
Yep.
And the actual grass will get too many nitrates and die.
Yeah.
Everything will be really, really green. Can tell where dogs pee.
Yep.
Outside. Little coronas of life.
Yep. And of corona. Little coronas of corona.
Yeah. A little corona and a little corona, and a little Cortana.
Yeah. This is the grossest episode we've ever done, I think.
Yeah. Why is this not come up next episode? Next episode, we're just going to talk about Legacy of the Wizard. Yeah. Just to keep it even.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, thanks,
for suggesting this. This is a good game, Holland. Mm-hmm. And getting us off on that tangent. And what are we doing next time, Cole?
Well, appropriately enough. Okay, so if you were calling in about feminism, this week's show is actually about the treatment of dogs in the media. No, tune in next week to so next one is it's Toilet Kids for the PC Engine / TurboGrafx 16.
Yeah, there's a game called Toilet Kids.
Yep.
it was news to me.
it was not, in fact, news to Mr. Samuel Bear.
Yeah. So thank you, Samuel, for finding Toilet Kids as a game. Yep. And suggesting we play it. How can people help the show, Cole?
Well, you know what? Go back and listen to all the old episodes. I mean, not all of them, as time permits, but these are relatively evergreen. I dip back in every once in a while.
There's one like super scary one right around September 11th in 2001. Other than that, they're super evergreen.
We get really
real serious during that one. Yeah. But other than that, they're super evergreen.
It's just us calling our loved ones live on the air.
Yeah. Just checking in on them.
Hey, Gary, I'm 14.
Cool. I hope you're okay. You weren't going to college in the going to high school in the tower. But other than that, they're evergreen. That's the one that's dated.
Look up any of the basketball duology, either Michael Jordan, Chaos in the Windy City, or Shaq Fu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do good when we talk about sports. So, yeah, we are good at sport.
Yeah.
And do that. And then, you are hearing this once a week because of Patreon and because of backers like Holland. Mm-hmm. So if you go to patreon.com/DuckFeedTV, you get a bunch of cool benefits. You can support the show. And we really appreciate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's the usual junk. It's been a little while since we've had a review. Our last review is from Kim Jong-un. So I thank you, glorious leader,
Lord Master. It's a funny review as well.
Yeah.
So, good job, Kim Jong. I hope he reviews everything he reviews on iTunes like that.
I should probably check
iTunes novelty accounts. It's a good idea. It seems like Apple would stomp down on that, but
yeah, you know what, they really don't care. Apple really and truly don't care about podcasts.
No longer a thing, but
you know, leave us a review there. That really does help us out, whether you're a gimmick or not. However, despots throughout history would be a nice we got just to like
just collect them all.
Pinochet.
Yeah.
Good dudes. Good rapport. Yeah. Helps me on my way to work, you know?
Yeah. I'd take it.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have a very active Facebook group too. So
Yeah. Okay, come check that out. Yeah. And take care, and we will see you in about a week.
Mm-hmm. Umbasa. I do sometimes employ white noise.
Yeah.
Or pink noise. I like the pink noise.
Yeah, I hear you. So runoff
yeah.
pee.
Yeah, everybody beat me up in grade school because I liked pink noise.
Well, now pink. Now it's you want the pink.
Yeah. Am I right? did you just like self-harm?
Pussy exploded. Sound effect.